So we're going to talk today about Facebook groups. And if you joined me last week, I said that one of the ways that you can improve your organic reach on Facebook was with a Facebook group. Now, I have just started experimenting with Facebook groups, but I can tell you that it's quite a challenge, first of all, getting people to join your group and then keeping them interested and engaged. So I decided to interview a friend of mine who has a Facebook group of 757 people, and she has an engagement rate of 96%. I know, right? It's crazy. She's going to tell us how she's doing it. So if you want to create your own Facebook group or you want to make your groups more engaged, then join us for the next half hour or so, where I will be asking my guest the following questions. Why are Facebook groups a good idea for marketers and business owners? What type of group should you be creating? And how do you get people to join your group? How do you keep your members interested and engaged? And should you monetize your group? And if so, how? What is the non-salesy, non-sleazy way to do it? I hope you will join us for the next 30 minutes. And before I move on to my guest, let's take care of a few housekeeping stuff. First of all, where's my stuff here? I forgot to show you guys the title. The Care and Feeding of Facebook Groups. Housekeeping stuff. First of all, turn on your audio. There is an audio icon in the lower right corner of the video. Click on that so you can hear us nice and clear, and you will have the best experience in this live presentation. Get a paper and pen so you can take notes. Share this video with your family and friends who might be able to benefit. Remember, sharing is caring. And finally, type your questions in the comments below, because while we are live, my guest and I will be responding to your questions, but also afterwards, we'll be going back and looking at, you know, so what, even if you're watching a recording, you can still type your questions. We will be responding to them. Okay, so before I introduce my guest, in case it's your first time with me, let me just give a quick introduction. My name is Lexi Rodrigo. I am a digital content manager, blog editor, copywriter, and lifelong learner. I am just addicted to learning, and I like to take what I learn and take and turn them into actionable insights. All right, I think we should be moving on. Let me introduce you to my guest, Val Selvey, a friend of mine. I think I met her online almost 10 years ago.
Probably.
Val is the owner of the website wifebehindthefire.com, and she's also the host of the Facebook group with the same name. So hi, Val. Tell us who you are and what you do.
Hi, good morning. So I'm Val Selvey, said, and I run a Facebook group for Firewives based on getting us some resources and really working on just us, not necessarily the firefighter, keeping ourselves strong. Imagine that's a 24/7 job, because we're online all the time. That's the thing with our active group. And at any one time, you can get on the group, and there's going to be a ton of people. I'm a talker by nature, so I think that's why groups have been a good fit for me.
Well, excellent. And because you're a talker, you're perfect, the perfect person to interview.
That's what I'm trying to, yes.
So let's get started. You had this website, wifebehindthefire.com. Why did you decide to create a Facebook group for it?
I actually, and this is part of the thing that I did backwards, it was actually the opposite is what I did. That just wanted to chat, and so we created the group, and as more information was on the group, then of course I started trying to put it on the website. I did everything wrong.
Now, why do you say that's wrong? Why are you and I both assuming that you should start with a website first?
That's the funny thing. It's just because that's what we've been told for so long, right?
Yeah, and I think because we are looking into this as marketers, right? Wherein you create your own platform first, which would be your website, before you create an asset on somebody else's platform, like a Facebook group. So why did you decide to create a group and not a forum? Where you and I actually met was in an online forum.
I created the group first because it was easy, because my friends and I were already chatting, it was just easier just to create a group and get a bunch of us in there. I did try and do the forum. However, I have found, especially over the last 4.5 years, the last 2 years, it's impossible to get people to get off Facebook. It's awkward. They're used to Facebook and how easy it is. They just pull up their app and start chatting, and they don't want to go log in to something on their phone and try and figure it out. They want that instant connection.
Yeah, this is so true. And in like that forum that we were on, I have to admit, I stopped participating there after a while, even though a lot of the people I met there became my, you know, good friends in real life. But so the owner of that forum, you and I were talking about this earlier, the owner of that forum actually moved the group into a Facebook group. And now I am a lot more active. I think I post there at least once a week, if not
mm-hmm.
more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's an interesting insight. Now
Because even with, because I was active on that group, but it was funny because I got used to being on the Facebook groups, and so I'd be sitting there and waiting for somebody to respond, you know, even though I know they're not logged in 24/7, I would still wait on the forum and wait for the response.
And the other thing that I notice as well, which is why it's easier for me to respond in the Facebook group rather than the forum, is I get notified when somebody, like the group owner or the group host, posts something, and I get notified, like on Facebook, when somebody else posts something, or when someone comments on my stuff, replies to my comment, and so I'm drawn into that. I mean, I'm not saying I'm on Facebook all day, but I guess I must be on there. Several times a day, to be honest.
And it is nice because with the groups, you can customize how much information you want. You can turn notifications off on a post that you don't want to talk about anymore, and that. So I know that helps too. It's less awkward. It's easier, and that instant connection is everything.
And the opposite of that is when someone posts, let's say, a question that I want to know the answer to as well, is I can follow that discussion, right? I can, if I post a comment, like I can just say, hey, I'm interested in this too. Somehow Facebook knows that, and Facebook will notify me every time somebody comments on that question. So then I can, you know, stay and be notified of any answers that might be posted on that question, which is not really that easy when you're in a forum.
Correct.
Now, let's go to the different types of Facebook groups. When you're creating a group, there's three kinds. You can make it public, you can make it secret, you can make it closed. Now, what are the differences between these types? And if I want to create my group, which type should I make it?
Well, for groups, the one thing that I really suggest is that you write down what your purpose is for the group. Figure out what your goal is. Where do you want this group to go? If it's just for public knowledge and you're just kind of doing it for fun, then because when you click it on public, everything will be viewable by anybody on Facebook. They will not have to be a member of the group. I do have one group that's just specifically for advertising business, and that one's public.
Do you mean for advertising your business?
It's Firewife Marketplace, and so I just let Firewives join that group, and they can post their specials, their business, all of that. And that way it's public and people don't have to join.
Gotcha.
They can click and they can contact the person. So for a secret group, I run a... We only have a couple of secret groups, mostly because any of the groups that I have out there, I do want the Facebook suggestions. I do want Facebook to say, hey, you know, this group's out there. So I don't use the secret option all that much. That would mostly be for the friends
yeah,
that we're going to talk.
Or I'm guessing family members, right?
Exactly, yeah. In my opinion. But I think I use Facebook more for marketing purposes. So for me, having a group be secret wouldn't be beneficial. I do have, I should take that back, I do have some groups for moderators and things like that that I run that are secret, just because I don't need those for marketing.
By moderators, you mean like people that you employ or you work with?
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, in your public group, since it's public, don't you get trolls and spammers there?
No, because they still have to join in order to post.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. Now, let's talk about when you say a person has to join, do you use the, because Facebook lets us ask questions, right? When a person wants to join, you can have them answer, I think, up to three questions, a maximum mm-hmm. of three? Do you use that?
I do. I was one of the early adapters of that, and I swear that was the best admin thing that Facebook has ever added to groups. Because previously, I messaged every single person and asked them those questions already.
Oh.
So it was nice that it was just automatically there.
So how are you using those questions? Is it to filter people who want to join?
For my Firewife group, I don't usually allow people into the group if they don't answer all three questions.
Oh, okay. So you're looking, because you're looking for a specific type of person who's ideal for the group, right?
Correct. Because so I do want the engagement. So if they can't answer the three questions, I figure, where are they going to be?
What are those questions, if you don't mind sharing?
Well, for mine, it's pretty easy, because I ask if they're specifically just for Firewife. So I ask if they're a wife, girlfriend, you know, that. I ask what fire department they're affiliated with. And then they're easy questions. Oh, I just ask if about the rules at the top of the list. If they will read the rules and acknowledge that the rules are there.
Oh,
I keep it pretty simple. It's nothing, you know, I'm not asking for any information, really.
Which is a good segue to my next question, which is about rules. So what do you think are the most essential rules to have for your group?
I think that the rules really set the tone for what you want the group to be. I created my rules over the last, actually I created the rules in the first 2 years, out of basic necessity, of course, as any rules will be made. My one rule that really helped form how the is balance. So, I mean, our group is for a lifestyle. So a lot of the women will come on there and they just need to vent. I mean, their husband's been gone for 72 hours straight. They just need to vent about the horrible day. And that's fine. Come on there. But I require that everybody also then starts a new post with something good that's going on. Our joke is that just come on and say I like puppies.
You mean the same person? Like if I went there to vent, then I then should post something positive.
Exactly. Yep.
Oh, interesting.
Yep. Because nobody likes to go on a group and have it all be negative. Nobody will come back.
That's true. I mean, if I was a member and I was already feeling down, and then I went in there and then everyone's just miserable. That's
yep.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but Facebook recently rolled out another feature wherein it already has like these pre-prepared rules. Then you can just pick and choose which ones you want. So I'm thinking for somebody who's new at this and you can't come up with your own rules, those are good rules to get started with.
Yeah, I didn't notice those. I'll have to look for them.
I don't know if you'll still see it because I think It seems to be like I have one group that's really new, and I have another group that has over 200 members. I don't see it in my big group. But in my new group, I can see that. So you might not see it anymore. Like maybe Facebook just shows it to groups that are obviously new and just starting out. Well, that's just my hypothesis.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No, it's probably true because that's what happened with adding the questions for new requests. Mm-hmm. I had a newer group and all of a sudden it was in there, but it wasn't in my active group. So I was really excited when they added it to everything. It was obviously beta for the new people.
Right, right. That is true. So let's talk about membership. How did you grow your members? Was it organic, or did you have to pay Facebook to give bigger exposure to your group?
I have mostly done organic. It's a lot of, I encourage the wives to invite others into the group. I've ran some Facebook ads. When I do run the ads, I'm very specific and I keep the wording very, very short and, you know, some eye-catching graphic, of course, but I try and keep everything really, really short and specific to the group. I think I've only ran ads a few times over the years, though, just because the group is so active already that that has not been my focus. Growing the group has not been my focus.
So you mean, like, getting the numbers? You're more about the quality of the interaction.
Mm-hmm, which has brought more organic, I've noticed, because the more active the group is, like if we have a crazy post that there's 200 comments on, I will notice that I get a lot more requests to join the group.
Yeah, because Facebook actually suggests groups to people. Like I see it on my Facebook, what do you call it, wall all the time. Like I will see on the sidebar certain groups that Facebook is suggesting that I join. Do you find, though, that there's a critical mass of members for this to happen? For example, I noticed that my bigger group is where people tend to, I guess, find it compared to my smaller group that I just started and haven't really been inviting people to yet. No one discovers it, it seems. By accident.
I think it is true. I think it's in Facebook's algorithms that, you know, if you I want to say maybe it's around 500 or something like that. It's so hard to keep up because as soon as you think that you've got a little bit of what they're doing, then all of a sudden it changes and up or but it I agree. It seems like the bigger the group, the more it'll suggest with the activity.
And there is a tripwire with Facebook. I noticed when I reached 200 members, and then all of a sudden I had insights. Mm-hmm. Was that the same for you as well? Like when I had a smaller membership, I couldn't see insights. And then once I went past 200, I could see insights.
Right. But those smaller groups, the thing was... you could always see exactly who had seen those posts already. So that was the trade-off. For me, that was a little hard.
I know what you mean. I actually miss that. Yeah. I miss seeing that, like who exactly responded and saw stuff. And then all of a sudden, I couldn't see it.
Yep.
But I had insights, but the insights were not as granular.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it's not per post. Like, we just got spoiled with that little one, and then they took it away.
So how do you keep, like you said, 96% of your members are responding, they're commenting, they're posting their own content in the group. How do you keep this engagement going?
When the group was small, I really did require that people were active. I spent way too much time doing it. It was kind of my side thing at that point while I was working. And I would go through the group every few months, and if people weren't active, I deleted them. I would do I now I do call outs because the group's already getting too big. I don't do that anymore.
What do you mean by call outs?
I will do call outs. So if there's somebody that, because I do contact every single person by Messenger before I let them in the group, I will recognize names. So if there's, I'll look at the members list, and if there's somebody I haven't heard from for a while, I'll tag them in a post and say, hey, what's going on?
Okay, that's a good idea. And by the way, we have someone here saying hi. Hi, Kelly Makazi.
Hey, Kelly.
Kelly's our mentor. Oh, my gosh, Kelly. So glad you could join us. I'm Kelly, if you have a question for Val on how she keeps her group members engaged, just post it in the comments. So, okay, calling people out, tagging them in posts. Anything else?
I do message my members privately every once in a while, just to ask if there's something going on, if there's something they would like to post about. I periodically also ask my members, I know Kelly does this now too, ask my members if they have questions that they'd like to do anonymous. I do that quite a bit, actually, because we do share a lot of private information in there since it is a lifestyle group.
Yeah. So how do you get their questions anonymously? Is it through Messenger?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. I always wondered where Kelly was getting those questions.
Yeah, and that's part of just contacting somebody out of the blue and asking how things are going. It's amazing how much more connected they'll feel to the group then. So then with my connecting them with asking questions, they'll come back to the group just because they instantly feel like, well, they don't instantly feel like, they do have a friend in the group. You know, we've connected, we've had a conversation, we know a little bit about each other and each other's lives, so they feel more comfortable coming in the group and chatting.
Right. Do you find that there are certain types of posts that tend to get more engagement?
Oh, there is, and it's hard to switch. Because mine's a lifestyle, it does end up being the negative posts. So I have to really monitor how those are going and the rampage people will get on and try and steer it clear. Thankfully, I have some really good friends that are good at trying to bury posts as well. And like I said, I don't do things the right way, so I'm not afraid to delete things or...
It's your group, right?
Exactly, yep.
Wait, you said bury a post. How exactly do you do that?
To bury a post, what we'll end up doing is me and probably like five or six, we'll just come up with new ideas and new posts, you know, just something simple of what's for dinner, you know, what are you doing today, what are you going to watch tonight, you know, is it shift day? And then once you get 5 to 10 posts on there, it'll hopefully bury it. Because sometimes those posts might be a rant and they weren't very positive, but there was a lot of good information on there. It's just gone on a little bit too long. There is also the option to turn comments off.
Oh, right. I've seen that. Yeah.
And for me, don't do that. I would rather delete the post entirely than turn the comments off. I think that's a personal preference, mm-hmm. definitely. But for me, as a talker, it bothers me to go to a post and not be able to comment.
Okay. Hang on, because Kelly responded. She says that I invite them to submit through a blind form. So these are the anonymous questions. So I don't even know who's asking.
Oh, okay.
See, this is why Kelly is our mentor, because she is so smart. Thank you, Kelly. Now, let's talk about how you manage your group. How much time are you spending? Are you on Facebook all day and all night?
Kelly, you need to log off now. I've actually gotten a lot better at managing my time, but I do spend way too much time on my Facebook groups, and it's why my group is so engaged. However, it's why I can also pretend that I'm working and I'm not actually working. So it's something that I really have to watch. And it's actually, instead of totally watching it, I have been adding it in as a service for for my business to manage other people's groups, just because I'm already on here doing it, so why fight it?
Oh my gosh, that's a brilliant idea.
If you can't fight the addiction of being online, you may as well just go with it, right?
So Kelly said, guilty giggle. Well, what I find easy is, you know, those dead periods in your day, like when I'm waiting at my doctor's clinic or whatever else, and I just get on, you know, the Facebook app and look at stuff and engage with my group members. That's a really, just such an easy way to, you know, interact with your group members. But I mean, you're right, especially when your group is so active, it's really hard to turn away and switch off.
Yeah, and I have to fight that now because it is so active. I always commented to every single post that was ever on there. I felt it was my responsibility. And I have to fight that now. I have to realize, and especially Facebook changed some algorithms in the groups, and I don't necessarily always see all of the posts like I used to. Oh. So that was one thing that I had to let go in an active group, is there's going to be posts that I don't see. And I'm just hoping that some of my moderators and friends will have seen them and commented. But I also did tell everybody too, if there's no comment on your post, then Facebook went wonky and bump it up and let us know, because there's never a time that something doesn't get commented on.
Yeah, I know, because Facebook doesn't show it, you know, sequentially, chronologically, right? You don't see like the newest to oldest. I think it's like a popularity game with Facebook, so that the post that's getting a lot of comments and responses is on top. And then the post that's getting nothing gets, like you said, buried. And then, so no one sees it, so no one can comment. And it's this vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned you have moderators. How many moderators do you have for your group of 750 plus?
I only have one moderator. And I think because I've got my rules down so pat, and the members know them, that we don't have any problems. So I don't have a lot of spam. People know that there's absolutely no posting of your businesses on there. If you want to post a business, you need to contact me first. And then I do allow some, but it has to be special and you got to ask first. I have an odd one where I don't let prayer requests on there. Moderating is the prayer request, and that's just because they snowball in the group. She does not have to do a lot of work, actually, as moderating. She's great, and she starts posts, but she just does it because she likes the group, too.
So she's a fire wife as well?
Mm-hmm.
Of course. Now, we mentioned insights earlier. Do you use insights a lot, and if so, what metrics do you look at?
Actually, I just started pulling those up, being stats, but I haven't used them, so I'm not too familiar with what my stats are, except for what I just pulled up.
What you pulled up for me.
Exactly.
And which turned out to be great, right?
I know. I was pretty impressed, actually.
I think it's really impressive that 96% of your members are actually interacting in the group. So now let's talk about the final area of Facebook groups, which is monetization. Now, do you think that it's okay to monetize your group? And if so, well, have you monetized your group? How are you doing it? Yeah, let's start with those questions.
And this one was a hard one because I didn't create that group for that purpose. Like I said, I went around the wrong way with it. So it was hard for me to transition mentally to the fact that it's okay to sell to them because I'm spending a lot of time here and they value that. So I have to make some money. I got to pay my bills, right? I use the information that I find that they need on that group, and I've created other groups that are little paid groups, so challenge groups. I do have a Firewife wellness and fitness group that we run on the side, and that one is a paid group. I have a gratitude group. I've done some side groups off of it. But I've learned I'm not afraid anymore to push my own products.
Yeah, the other way to think about it, too, is that you can't serve them just with the group.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to serve them more, then, you know, maybe it's going to require more one-on-one time with you or more resources. That's going to take you resources to put together. Mm-hmm. And the way that you can continue to serve them is by actually getting paid, like putting these products together where you get paid to serve them, which is like only fair, right? Because you're not running a charity.
Right, exactly. And that was the hard part, is the whole switching of asking for things. Kelly knows that. Kelly, I've been working on that.
And I'm glad that you did. So you had to have that kind of a mindset shift. And how did they respond the first time that you actually tried to sell them something?
There hasn't been a lot of response. And I think that's one of, as I mentioned at the beginning, I think before you start a group, you really need to figure out what's your goal of this group. Because I did not have a goal with this group, I created a group that was not too interested in products and things like that. They just wanted that camaraderie. So I've had to really work on transitioning them, and it's been a lot of work transitioning them, you know, into being open to the product and other ideas, versus if you create a group now, I'm hoping that, and I do create groups now that way, with knowing, you know, this is my goal. I'm creating it because I'm going to have this product, that's going to be my focus. Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun along the way, but I do create it more with the monetary focus now.
The way I've done it with the first group that I did was in the description of the group, I was very upfront about it, that because I created that for a product that I'm an ambassador for. So I said, I'm an ambassador. So this is a group for people who are interested in this, and I am an ambassador for this. Here's my ambassador link. So it was clear that I'm somebody who's trying to make money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not just having fun.
You know, I just started in the last couple of weeks. There's that option where you can add the link to other groups. And I had added some of my other paid groups on there, but I hadn't really done anything using that specific option. So I went in and I added my groups, my wellness group and my gratitude group that are paid groups. I went in there and I added them to my free group, so it's got the direct link. And when I did, I also changed the wording that this was, and I think I actually might have gotten this from Kelly. I'm not sure if it was Kelly or from Angela Wills. I changed the wording that it was for members of, and gave the link for purchase. And then using my questions for the requests, because I was getting people that wanted to join, but they hadn't purchased the product. I went in there, and that was the first question that I put in there as well. My first question was, have you already purchased? And then I did the link again. And that's brought me a few sales. So that one's been working.
Wow. I'm so glad you discovered that. Now, before I wrap this up, you've been saying that you did things backwards and you made many mistakes. And I know that you've mentioned some of them, but just to recap, especially for people who have just joined us now, what are the lessons that you've learned? So if you had to do it over, what would you do differently and why?
I would definitely have a specific goal, especially coming in as already being an affiliate. It's not like I just came in as, you know, a citizen starting the group. I would definitely come in with a specific goal of how I wanted to monetize the group. What else? That is honestly my biggest one.
And it's a big one. I mean, we're talking to other marketers and business owners, so that is an excellent lesson.
Yeah, and just also probably figure out how much time you're willing to spend on the group. It does take a lot of time if you want your group to build and be active. You're going to talk to yourself quite a bit, set the time aside so that you're doing it, because otherwise it can take over.
Well, how often should you be posting in your group anyways?
I post a few times a day. I've actually been getting a lot better about scheduling. I'm very thankful that they have the schedule option in the group. Yeah. But I post at least 2 or 3 times a day.
When you were just getting started and you said you were speaking to yourself, were you also posting that often?
Well, I didn't talk to myself quite as much just because I did start the group with friends. So that did help the communication right off the bat. I still was posting 2 or 3 times a day. It's the same thing that I was doing on my Facebook business pages.
So, okay. Let's move on to questions. Folks, if you have questions for Val, feel free to type them in the comments. And we actually have one question here from Moen Murray. Okay, I've thought of starting a Facebook group for people who like to play Facebook games like me. Is that a good lifestyle group topic?
Lifestyle group topic, yes. But is the goal going to be to try and make money from it? Or is it just to hang out and talk? Be the biggest thing. Just try and figure out if there's affiliate links that you can try and promote or the like. Or honestly, if you're just going to get in there and it's just going to be for fun, then go for it. But make sure you limit your time.
Now, let's assume that this is for marketing, for business. Let's assume that Moen, because if it's just for fun, there's no question, right? Like you can create any Facebook group for fun. But let's say Moen is interested in doing this for business. So what are the things that she should... Moen. Should think about in creating this group or when deciding whether or not to create this group?
I would try and go out and figure out a list of affiliate products. So go around that topic and see if there's that you can do. I mean, thing like that. I mean, affiliate topics could be, you know, a pizza chain or something even. I mean, the sky is kind of the limit on that one.
So true.
And I'm an affiliate for the Facebook games themselves, but I don't think that's an option. I don't even know if that's an option.
I don't know either. I don't play Facebook games myself, so yeah, I don't know if there is any affiliate marketing opportunity there, or if there are other products that people who play Facebook games would be interested in.
Yeah, I don't know if like Pop Sugar or any of that has an affiliate program for the upgrades, or but that would definitely be what I would look at first. And when you make a list of the affiliate products that you want to push, that also helps you create posts for in the group. So you don't have to push the product all the time, but if you have this company that you want to promote, then you can kind of write posts, you know, a couple of times a week around that topic, and then every once in a while you just give them that affiliate link of check this out.
So thank you, Moen, for posting your question. I hope that we answered it. But if not, feel free to post another comment and clarify your question for us. So for those who are watching the replay, feel free to post your questions because I will be checking on them after the live streaming. And I will tag Val if there's a question that needs her attention. So now let's move on to a little recap of the things that we've covered here in the Care and Feeding of Facebook groups. So we talked about why should you create a group? And specifically, we were talking about creating a Facebook group for business. And we talked about the different types of Facebook groups. There's the public, a secret group, and a closed group. And when each one is appropriate, depending on your goals. We talked about rules, why you should have them, and what kinds of rules that you can have. And we talked about asking questions before letting people in your group. We also talked about how to get members organically, as well as we talked a little bit about using ads. And we said that we suspect, Val and I suspect, that there is a critical mass for a number of members when you reach that critical mass, and Facebook will be promoting your group to more people. And we also talked about the nurturing of your group members, how to get them to engage, the different types of posts that you can publish in your group, managing your group, especially the importance of using your time wisely and setting boundaries around the amount of time that you spend on Facebook. And group insights, like which insights metrics you are available and what you should be looking at. And we also talked about how you can monetize. We talked about affiliate marketing and creating your own products and how to do it in such a way that you're not being spammy or sleazy. Is there anything you'd like to add, Val, that I might have missed?
No, you did a great job of, of recapping those.
Thank you. Well, that is all the questions that I have for you, Val. Do you have anything that you want to add before we say goodbye?
No, I think one of the biggest things is if you're going to create a group, just make sure that you're doing want to be active and have fun. I think it's just like any other social media platform. We feel like we should join them all and create them all, and then we let them sit. So if you're gonna start a group, really figure out how long you're gonna. figure out how long you're going to.
Who is that?
My dog's saying hi. She's done.
Oh.
Figure out how much time that you want to invest in it and figure out if you're willing to invest that time. Because to make a group active, it's going to take a little bit more time.
Well, thank you so much, Val. I have learned so many things from you today. And I hope that our viewers have learned a lot too. Guys, what are your aha moments from this interview? Please share them in the comments, okay? Even if you're watching the replay, I always respond to all the comments in my my videos. So thank you, Val. And before everyone goes, I just want to invite you to get my Facebook Live checklist. You can get it for free at alexisrodrigo.com/checklist. Okay, guys, enjoy the rest of your day. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for having me.